Okay, good New Year's Eve, good New Year's Day morning, like that. And, you know, it's really tough when you're someone like Kit. He just celebrated his birthday. So, you know, you got Christmas and your birthdays right there together. You get kind of, you too? Yours is the 26th. What day is yours, actually? 29th. And yours is the 26th. And, you know, it's the only thing about it being after, I feel sorry for those whose birthday is like the 23rd, 24th. But, like, mine's right after it in January. And sometimes in bad economic years growing up, my birthday was much better than Christmas. And now I have my daughter. I know she just waited till the sales were on. After Christmas sales, go get. My biggest present was a Lone Ranger double holster. And I wanted that so bad. And I didn't get it for Christmas. And boy, was I down. But I got it for my birthday. Well, now I know what happened. She just waited till after Christmas. But what if they'd have been gone, Mom? And so happy birthday and happy birthday. My goodness. That's great. Anybody else's birthday is the end of December? All right. Okay. It's easy to remember Jim Passmore's birthday because his is St. Patty's Day. So just think green and you think of Passmore, but not in the green way it's used today. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer and just orient ourselves to a morning of worship and praise to our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for a new year. There's really nothing different day than yesterday, but in our minds and the way we think, Father, just a new year, fresh in time, new leaf, new opportunities, Father. But, Father, we just continue to trust you. We continue to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we just pray, Father, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Well, let's begin with a join, sing together, worship together in song. Brian, what are we going to sing?
Let's do 165, Amazing Grace.
Okay, let's start off with announcements. And let's see. Laura, why don't you make our first announcement for us?
You know, okay. Thanks, Herman. Okay, I'm making the announcement for the chili cook-off because Brian didn't want to make the announcement, so he said, here, Lori, you know more in detail. Larry's sick this morning, and she's overall organizing all our fundraising for our youth ministry, which is our summer camp, but it's also all the other things that we do throughout the year. Y'all know we just did the Christmas VBS with a lot of the youth. We just started really, really planning our SLAM, our Servant Leadership and Mission 7th through 12th grade leadership camp for the end of March and April. So all these fundraisers that we're doing contribute to all those things, and we thank you guys so, so much for your support. Pat is in charge of our chili cook-off, and she's planned this and done our flyer. And I think a lot of y'all participated last year. We were gone and did the chili. So we're going to have three teams this year. Terry and Rick are going to host a team at their house and do two crock pots full of chili. And Chris and I are going to host our youth group and do two crock pots of chili. And then Larry and Brian at their house are going to have two crock pots of chili. And then what we'll do on January 22nd is you guys can have your bowl of chili for free, and then you get to vote with a donation. So what do you think about that? Martha. I think we would love requests. If you guys have specific requests, please let us know, and we'll each group will come with the fixings, the cornbread or the Fritos for Frito pie or whatever we choose to do. But if y'all have requests, that would be great. And another bonus for the winning team, I think y'all did this last year too, the winning team will get a one free trip to summer camp for one member of their team, and that team will get to decide which of the children gets a free registration for summer camp. So we're really looking forward to it. We'll have the kids all over at our houses before the day we do the chili cook-off, and then January 22nd will be our day. So be ready. Come hungry and be ready to eat some chili. And I was just going to mention, Leslie said the other day, we are on track for our fundraising. We exceeded our goal that we set for the PJ fundraiser. $1,630, and our goal was $1,000. So we did really good on the PJ. Leslie headed that up. And then for the ornaments that Larry did, we didn't even really expect that was going to be $650 we made on that. And so that was really neat. I think people love the ornaments. So we're right on track, and we came in under budget for the VBS. And I think for our youth groups, we're getting a lot of donations from parents. So that's really good. So thank you guys so much for your support.
Thank you. Thank you. And your hair still looks great. I love last year's chili cook-off. I think it was one of Brian and Larry's daughters, but one of the kids, I don't know if you know it, but one of the chilies, was it veggie or what was it? Vegetable. And it didn't get hardly any votes. And one of the little kids said, I'm surprised who's going to eat chili with nothing in it or something like that. Vegetable chili. It was classic. So this is a lot of fun, and I hope that you'll mark down the 22nd and come and be a part of it. It's just good eats. Invite friends, invite family, absolutely. And let's just have a good chili. Even if they don't want to come to church, I would like for them to, but if they don't want to, get here about 12 noon, and they can enjoy eating and fellowship. So please, yes, let's tell them to come in and join in. All right, anything else in that regard? Okay, any questions about it? All right, now let's talk about prayer. Last night we got word, but it actually happened the day before, but Tisha's brother, I won't go through all the relationships, Leslie's uncle, we could just go through a lot of different relationships, but Tisha's brother Larry, a lot of you know, was taken to the emergency room, and he had a hole in his intestines, and they are hoping that they're going to be able to get it taken care of with antibiotics. He will be in the hospital for at least a couple of days, and if that doesn't take care of the puncture and they don't know how it happened in the intestines, then they're going to have to do something else. And as you know, it can be very dangerous, that poison going through the body, and people die. In fact, your brother-in-law, same type of thing. So this is very serious and very dangerous. So let's be in prayer for Larry and Taylor and his family, and just pray that God will intervene here. And then, yes.
We went up there last night and saw him.
Yes.
In prayer for the nurses.
Please be in prayer for the entire nursing staff, the medical staff, the janitor, everyone. Please.
He's got the whole room remodeled.
Oh, man. Please be in prayer. Wow. I didn't think. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Let's continue to be in prayer for Thomas. He's just getting better and better, and each passing day, and we're just so thankful for what's happening in Thomas's life. So let's continue to be in prayer for Thomas. The friend of the church got word yesterday that she may be going home with the Lord anytime. I'm going to try to go by and see her this afternoon. Please be in prayer, friend of the church. And it just gets worse and worse each day. I went by to see her last week, and she looked good in the bed and all. But as you know, that often the way it is. You look real good, and then pow. So please be in prayer. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
Friends of ours are having some serious family problems. Heather and their family.
Okay. Be in prayer for them, and that God can use it to get them closer to Him. That's why these things happen, as we know. Any other prayer requests? Any other thing? Yes.
Is it Thanksgiving?
Good. I like Thanksgiving. We're very thankful that y'all made it safely. We're very jealous of where you were and what you were doing. But we're very thankful that you made it home safe. Did you have a good time? Good, yeah. So, that's very good. I haven't been to Disney World in Florida. I went to Disney World or Land or whatever it is in California many years ago. But we're glad you're home safely. And we have a list of work we want you to do now that you're back and the things you need to be doing. And so, any other prayer requests, anything? And Romeo, how's your son doing in the Philippines? Yeah? Wow, very good. Very good, okay. Very good. Did I see another hand? Yes, Cameron.
My friend in school just lost her dad 4 years
ago. Wow.
He's had cancer for a while, and they knew it was a possibility of death, but they didn't come.
Yeah. We'll be in prayer for the family. How many children did he have? Okay. We'll be in prayer for Brooks and for the family. Yeah, my goodness. Okay, any other prayer requests or anything? Okay. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. People, we are responsible with what God has given to us. We are responsible in regard to being good stewards. And I remember some time ago, many years ago, I was in a discussion, and this man got up and he asked, how can we stop liberalism in the church? And one of the speakers there said, stop supporting it. And this is one of the things that we do. We support with just trying to be nice. We give to this organization, that organization, as far as the spiritual realm is concerned. and they are not even close in the gospel. So we're supposed to be responsible in that respect. And so, I mean, if you just want to give money, you know, the heart fund or the some pet company or society, but it's in the spiritual realm. It's your responsibility to know, are they speaking and teaching the truth? And this becomes our opportunity. And God has really blessed us by getting us through 2011. And now we're going into 2012. And so just pray that God will continue to support us and get us through 2012 and using all of the outreaches that we have. I'm very thankful. I really am. I'm very thankful. And we close out 2011 for what's happened with our youth. And I'm just so thankful to the Daves and the Wises and the Hallets and everyone that's been involved, the Jensens, everyone that's been involved in regard to things going on with our young people. And people, we don't see it. They're not, this room isn't filled with these young people. But you talk to the Daves and you talk to the Wises, and we're giving the gospel to a lot of young people that are not getting the gospel any other way. And I'm thankful for that. So it's just, it may be invisible to our eye here, but there are things going on in our, you know, with our young people that I'm very thankful for. And I'm very thankful for what's happening as far as our worship and music. We've we're just asked to bear the brunt for years and years and years. And I would be aware that he could build any of these 10,000 member churches and making, I don't want to say that, he might leave, making a lot of money a month. But, then Brian came forward and has been leading us in our congregational singing, and I'm very thankful for Brian and doing that. And then James Webb came, and he's been singing with Judith, and I'm hoping that we can get John Harvey to sing with him and get other people to sing with him, and get St. Clair to come up with his guitar and lead us in some good old gospels or something, whatever Brian St. Clair wants to do. And I'm just thankful for that. And I'm very thankful that God is using us on the Internet. And I don't know how many, but let's just go to some number. People, we get about 10,000 hits a month on our Internet. And that's just unbelievable. No? How many? Probably more. But we have what? We have about three or four different outlets, don't we, Jim? And we're just talking about one of them. I'm just thankful that it's silent. I really am. That it's silent. We don't know. We don't know how many. We don't know who they are. We don't know any of these things, and we don't need to. This is all up to the Lord. Just like with our young people, we don't see it, but we know things are going on. And so I just pray that God will just see fit to continue to use this assembly in 2012 in any way and every way that He sees fit to do so. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful for 2011. And we pray now, Father, that You will continue to use this humble assembly in the spreading of the gospel to both unbelievers and believers, in the teaching of the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Father, we just pray that You'll continue to use this assembly to spread this gospel, teaching of the Word, that You'll continue to edify and strengthen us right here with our own worship and song. And Father, just pray that You'll just open up maybe new ways, new opportunities in 2012. We just put the cup out and we let You pour. And we continue to walk by faith in the Spirit, being guided by Him and by the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. when James first came up here, he said, I have something I just want to say before. It won't take more than 30 minutes. And that reminded me, Kit was telling me last Sunday, he and his wife had to go to a funeral. And I say had to, because sometimes we feel obligated when some, but he went, and five preachers spoke. Five. He told me that before he went the Sunday morning, and I said, well, you plan on getting out of there about midnight. And the first one got up, and he said, now there are five of us that are going to speak, and we've all been each allowed in 30 minutes. And he went, no, wait, it's 5 minutes. But, so, well, that was beautiful. And so you're going to have to sing with him sometime, and we'll just got to get this going. All right. Okay, let's open the Word of God, if you will, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now, last night, we began our New Year's Eve challenge, and I guess I was just, I don't know where I was, but I had planned on finishing it all last night, and I didn't get through with half of it, and so, and that's fine. This morning, just a few hours ago, we were in it, just so we're finishing up this morning, and the challenge that we're looking at. So let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of this prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in His Spirit. And for He is the teacher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this book. We're so grateful for this assembly where we can come and open it and study it. Verse by verse, grasping things that you would have us to know in reference to our life, in reference to you, to your Son, to your Spirit, to your plan of history. Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see this morning. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. And as I said last night, I'm not concerned about 2012 in regard to what's happening in the Middle East. I'm not even concerned about 2012 in regard to the presidential election here. There's not a thing we can do about what's happening in the Middle East. Other than voting and prayer, not much we can do about the presidential election. But people, you make decisions every day, all day, that affect your life. Let's don't worry about what's happening in the Middle East. Let's don't worry about who's going to be elected president. It's your daily life, your daily decisions that I want to address in this special. How you live each day, that's going to have the impact on you personally. What happens in the Middle East is according to God's plan. But you and I have to have our own life in order. We have to fulfill our own requirements. And who's elected president? It may be who you want. It may not be who you want it. You may see it as disastrous. You may see it as hope. Doesn't matter. It's your daily life. It's your daily life that is of issue here. Just like in a military situation, in a war, can't be concerned about what the tank division's doing. You cannot be concerned about what the air support is doing. Can't be concerned. All these other areas, it's your responsibility. That's your concentration. Your last command given to you. That's it. And hopefully, who's taking care of the planes? Who's taking care of the tanks? I'm assuming we're infantry. Taking care of all these other things. Taking care of the ships. They'll do their job. You're responsible for yours. Doesn't matter what's going on over there, over there, over there. It's your responsibility. Your command that you were given, what's expected of you. Now relate this to our daily life, people. This is what we're looking at. And we're taking a challenge from God's Word for 2012. We begin in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. It sort of lays the groundwork for it. For this reason also since the day we heard of it. Now, to grasp what it is, look back at verse 8. What is it? And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Spiritual love. Your love for one another. People, it's one thing I love about this humble assembly of ours. People, visitors come in. And they just, people are friendly. People laugh. People talk. People, we feel comfortable. And this is spiritual love in the assembly, but it's got to be in your home. It's got to be in your work. It's got to be in your social life, in your life. So he had heard that they were walking by faith in the Spirit and therefore exemplifying spiritual love. Nothing else matters but faith expressing itself in love, Paul says in Galatians 5. So here is the spiritual love. So we know one thing, they're doing it right. Now what do you say to someone who's doing it right? What do you say to someone who's doing everything right? Okay, let's take a look. For this reason, verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, of your spiritual love for one another, we have not ceased to pray for you. People, you want to pray for those in the battle. Jesus Christ in the Lord's Prayer in John 17, I do not pray for the world. Specific, I don't pray for them. I pray for those that are in the battle. I pray for those who are in Bible class. Those walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Those trying to live in the spiritual life. Those are the ones we want to pray for. Does that mean we do not pray for an unbeliever? No. Christ died for them. What do you mean? Certainly he cares. But prayer is very important. And he goes to prayer for those that are in the battle. And we need to go. And that's what Paul is doing here. All right? We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask. Now, what does he ask? It's not just important that we pray. It's important what we pray about. That you be filled with the knowledge of His will. And if you have the New American Standard with marginal notes, you'll look in the margin, it says real knowledge. What are they trying to convey here? Well, the Greek word epignosis, and it refers to knowledge that is acquired by your participating in it and it having an impact in your life. The knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom, and the way the Greek construction is, and all spiritual understanding. Wisdom has to do, we're studying it on 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and by the way, we'll be back to that next Sunday, so don't forget that. Don't get into the habit. I've let two Sundays go with no 9:15 class. Don't get in the habit of that. Get your coffee a little earlier, and we'll be back to 9:15 next week. The knowledge of His spiritual wisdom. Wisdom deals with application in our daily life and understanding. Now, we come to the challenge. Verse 10 begins our New Year's Eve challenge. So that, in order that, you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Well, people, if you're going to please Him in all respects, if you're going to please someone, you have to know them. That's profound wisdom, isn't it? If you're going to please someone, you have to know them. You have to know what they like and don't like. Not everyone likes flowers. Not every woman likes flowers. Not every person likes this. If you really want to please someone, you've got to know them. So, how do we know Him? By the knowledge of His will in spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. In order that you may walk in Him, walk as your daily life, in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. And last night we spent time on that little speed reading word that people that speed read pass over. See that word all? Don't speed read past that. That's a Greek word. All. All respects. Every area of your life should be to please Him. Every area. Your fun. Your enjoyment. Let's just get to your sexual relationship with your husband and wife. Your fun enjoyment in life. Your vacation. Your work. Everything. Not just the spiritual. Not just coming here and sitting down and listening to the Word. All respects. Please Him. As you work with your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, other people, people in the church, people that come across your path. All respects. Now, what we have here, let me just quickly go through this with you. We have one infinitive, and that infinitive is to walk. Then we have four participles, and I only bring this out to show you, we're not going to list five things here. We have one thing, and then four that will describe it. So the one infinitive, that you will walk. Now, if you walk in a manner so as to please the Lord, and that is by the power of the Holy Spirit, but we'll take that up in a minute, there will be four things that will happen in your life. Four things that you will see. Four participles. Bearing fruit. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthening with our power. And then the fourth one in verse 12, giving thanks. Those are four things that we want to look at in 2012. Now, the overriding will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now, we're picking up four participles that describe how that's going to be in this particular context. And the first one, bearing fruit in every. See that word every? That's like the word all. Don't speed read past it. It don't mean in some. It doesn't mean bearing fruit in some good work. In every good work. And what is that? Every time we're filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. We spent time last night with that. Let's take a look at the second one. Increasing in the knowledge of God. People, your life should be characterized by the study of the Word of God. Now, in Ephesians, it's related to the gift of pastor-teacher, the same word. God has given some the gift of pastor-teacher that we may increase in the knowledge of God, and we may grow in the knowledge of God. You've got to find a pastor-teacher who studies and teaches the Word of God, increasing in the knowledge of God. And this was very important to Jesus Christ in the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17. He talked about they may know you, the true God. Then the third one, strengthened. It's difficult to translate this with the participle concept. Strengthened with all power. All right, what is that? That is the Holy Spirit. Being empowered by the Holy Spirit. According to His glorious might. Now, look at the last phrase, and this is where we had to end last night. For the attaining of two very important qualities in your daily life. Steadfastness and patience. And that word joyously, that's a prepositional phrase. It should be translated with joy. With inner happiness. And so, let's take a look with steadfastness, attaining steadfastness and patience. People, let's just do this. You know, if it weren't for the circumstances, I could really be happy. If this wasn't going on, if this wasn't happening, I could really be happy. Or, you know, if it weren't for people, I'd really be happy. Why did God have to make people? It would have been good if He'd just made me and left it at that. People, they just get on my nerves. People I love get on my nerves. People I don't even know get on my nerves. People I can't even see, I'm talking on the phone, and they're in India somewhere. And I'm talking to them. They get on my nerves. People. My husband gets on my nerves. My wife gets on. And the strangers, these people, my family, this member of my family, cannot stand my wife's brother-in-law. And I don't have any problem with her brother-in-law. So let's be sure I'm not speaking personally. Just talking. Can't stand this person. Okay. People, what these two words show us, these two words that we have here, steadfastness and patience, you know what? God does not have to change your circumstances one day in 2012 for you to have inner happiness. God does not have to change one person. God doesn't have to change your husband, your wife, your friend, your working person, at church, the person driving in front of you, anything. He doesn't have to change anybody for you. to have peace and inner happiness. Now, the two words that we have, the first word is translated in our passage, it says, in steadfastness. That's the word hupomone. And I just want to put it on the board. I love these two words. Hupomone, steadfastness. This deals with circumstances in life. Now, macrothumia. This 50-cent word talks about the long-suffering. Both of these are fruit of the Spirit and products of spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13. Both of these are. This one's in verse 4, the macrothumia. Love is long-suffering. Translated patience, but it means long-suffering. People, love is going to suffer. Let's just be honest. Your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your child, whom you love, they're going to just get on your nerves. They're going to cause you to suffer. Spiritual love and the fruit of the Holy Spirit is long-suffering. Long-suffering. Macrothumia. This is in regard to people. Patience is in regard to people. Steadfastness, circumstances. Circumstances do not get you out of kilter. They do not cause you to stop coming to Bible class. Do not cause you to stop walking by faith. See, God doesn't have to change circumstances, hupomone, nor people, macrothumia. If you're walking in the power of the Spirit, He changes you. He works inside of you. So that cousin, that work associate, that person at church, whatever it may be, He will change you with the power of the Holy Spirit. Give you macrothumia, patience in regard to people. One of the great problems with stress, anxiety, and depression are these two words right here. Many people have stress, anxiety, and depression are sad because of circumstances or people. One or the other or both. God has taken care of both of them. Working inside of you. He does not have to change the world, people, to make you happy. He doesn't have to change anybody to make you happy. He doesn't have to change your circumstances to make you happy. Every day in 2012, every day in 2012, you can experience, see that last word, joyously. That is a prepositional phrase with joy. It is possible to live through 2012 and have inner happiness in spite of circumstances, in spite of people. Are there circumstances in your life that cause you to just have stress, anxiety, depression? Are there people that just get on your nerves? Well, I'm telling you, from this passage, you can have inner happiness throughout 2012. You do not have to change. They do not have to change. Circumstances do not have to change. They're not going to change. Chances are those people are not going to die in 2012. They get on your nerves. Just probably not going to. They're not going to leave. They're going to be here at December the 31st of the end of 2012. He's not going to remove them in most cases. But He will give you inner happiness. So you can either experience stress, anxiety, depression, anger, upset, all these kind of things, or you can experience inner happiness throughout the year. How can these things occur throughout the year? Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, strengthened with all power. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we walk in a manner of the Lord and worthy of the Lord? People don't make a long list. Well, if I don't do this, and if I don't do that, if I do this, if I do that, I'll be worthy of the Lord. Don't do that. It's very simple. You don't have to sit down and have a legal notepad and write all the do's and don'ts down that are going to make it pleasing to the Lord. Just one thing. Walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. He will lead you walking worthy of the Lord. He will lead you to the study of the Word of God, increasing in the knowledge of Christ. He will give you hupomone and macrothumia in your life. All you have to do is to walk by faith. Where's the proof of that? Look at Colossians 2:6. The book of Colossians, it flows with this whole momentum of these two verses we're looking at. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. So walk. What is walk? Walk by faith. How did you receive him? By faith. How do we walk? By faith. Same. So you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You walk by the filling of the Holy Spirit. You walk in a manner to please him. You walk by the filling of the Spirit. And you grow in the knowledge of Christ. And you understand what will please him. And you will have all steadfastness. You will have all patience with inner happiness. People, think about this. Think about it. Throughout 2012, this whole year, throughout the year, starting with today, January 1, you can have steadfastness regardless of circumstances in your life. And don't miss that all. Don't miss that all. In all steadfastness, that means hupomone, in all circumstances. See? And you can have patience in regard to people. Again, all. In all patience. And you have it with inner joy. Now, if you're a cynic, and you may be a cynic, even though you come to Bible class, and you really don't think this is possible, it just is not possible to have inner happiness in dealing with this person or this circumstance all the time. Just can't do it. I can avoid them, but not totally. I can avoid the circumstances, but not totally. But it's just not possible. Okay, I want you to do this. Today, tomorrow, whenever it comes up, just try it. That's right, just give it a try. Just give it a try. Let's take a person. There's a person. And people, it can be someone very close, be someone that you see weekly, monthly, whatever, but there's a person or persons that get on your nerves, cause stress, anxiety, and depression. Okay? When you know you're getting ready to see that person, go into the Holy Spirit and start thinking about, put your mindset on the Lord. State circumstances, finance, whatever it is. This is just going to be a nervous wreck for me. Just set your mindset. See, people, stress, anxiety, and depression, anger, upset, whatever word you want to use that this person causes you or that circumstances cause you, that's a choice. They don't cause it. They do not cause you to be stress, anxiety, and depression. I don't care what they do. They don't cause it. You've chosen to do that. That's how you've chosen to handle the situation. That's how you've chosen to handle that person. That's how you've chosen to handle that circumstance. I choose to be upset. I choose to be mad. I choose to be angry. I choose to be nervous. Whatever it is, I choose it. Well, people, you can also choose to keep your mind stayed on him. You can choose to keep your mind stayed on the Holy Spirit, stayed on the Lord, and regardless of the circumstances, and watch what starts to happen. Watch the peace that starts coming over you. Watch the difference. Just try it. Just give it a try. In all seriousness. Okay, I'm going to concentrate. I'm going to be sure I'm walking in the Spirit and meditating, thinking, mindset on him, on Jesus Christ. You'll see what happens. See how this helps you in the area of finance, health, work, car, house, politics, whatever's going on. Just keep your mind stayed on him. Keep your mind stayed. You know what? I'm in Christ. This circumstance may be overwhelming on me, but you know what? I'm in Christ. I have eternal life. This can't touch me. And watch what starts to happen in your soul in regard to these things. Let's note a few things. Point one, drawing from our study of stress, anxiety, depression, you make a change. You change from AM to FM. Remember that analogy we used? You go out and you get in your car. You have a little radio in your car, if it's old-fashioned. You have a little radio, and it has AM and FM. And all you have to do is push a button. You go from AM to FM. Go back to AM. Okay? If you see that you're on AM, which is the Adamic, the Adam mindset, flesh nature, just push FM. That's your faith mindset. You push, go over to faith mindset. It's that simple. It's that simple! You get into a car, your parents, get into the car and turn it on, and I mean the volume is so high, and it is on the worst music that you could ever imagine because your son or daughter has just been driving the car. What do? You turn it down and change the channel. That's what you do. I've got a mindset about this circumstance. I got a mindset about this person. They upset me. They do this. They do that. They annoy me. Whatever it may be. They make me mad. Whatever it may be. Just push the radio. Push it to FM. Push it to faith mindset. Now you're not thinking about them. Now you're not concerned with them. Now you're not concerned with the problems they bring to you. They don't bring you any problems anymore. Your mind is now on him. See? That's just all you have to do. And we spend a lot of time on changing the AM to FM. See? So we're dealing with you. I'm not dealing with them, and I'm not dealing with the circumstance. Now, if you want to, you bring them to me, and I'll talk to them. And I'm just kidding. Don't do that. See? I'm dealing with you. This text is dealing with you. God doesn't have to change the world. He miraculously, supernaturally, powerfully changes you inside. He changes you from AM to FM. From the Adamic mindset, which is our flesh nature, which is where we get all upset with circumstances and people, to the faith mindset, FM. Point two. You now change the channel. You direct your thinking to the Holy Spirit. Get your mind set on the Holy Spirit. You start trusting the Holy Spirit. Point three, you start thinking about Jesus Christ. Start thinking of all that He's done for you, all that He's doing for you right now. And point four is very important. Point four is very important. Keep it there. Don't go changing channels. You got to stay on that channel. You got to stay in FM. Don't immediately go to AM and it didn't work. Oh, it worked. You just changed channels. You just changed frequencies. You went from the FM frequency to the AM frequency, and then you said the FM frequency didn't work. Oh, it works. You just didn't stay there. So point four is very important. Keep it on that mindset, on that frequency of FM. Keep your mind set on Him. Do not allow your mind to change the frequency. Start thinking on your circumstances. Start thinking on that person. Keep your mind set on the Holy Spirit, on Jesus Christ, and the knowledge of God. Do not get your mind off of that. And a miracle will occur. That person won't bother you. You'll walk away and go, wow, that's the first time I've been with my cousin or with this person or that, whoever it may be. And I'm not all twisted up. This works, people. That's why this phrase says, strengthened with all power. That's the FM frequency. And after a few moments of trusting the Holy Spirit, keeping your mind stayed on Him, you're not able. You're not able to start getting all upset about the other person. You're not able to have stress, anxiety, and depression. You will have with joy. And the same thing is true with people, circumstances, people. Let's take a person in your life. Someone that irritates you, gets on your nerves, brings you stress, anxiety, depression. Maybe just brings it once in a while. Every husband's going to do this to his wife. Every wife's going to do it to the husband. Every parent's going to do it to their children. Every child is going to do it to their parent. Every friend is going to do it to a friend. You don't have a friend if it hasn't been tested. Not really. Friendships have to be tested. So you have these things happen. You make a decision, people. Are you going to let that bother you? Are you going to let that bring you stress, anxiety, depression? And with that I mean anger, jealousy, fear, whatever, a whole bunch of words. I'm just using those three, S-A-D. You going to allow them to do that to you? Because you make the decision, people. They do not do it to you. You make the decision. This person drives me crazy. This person makes me so mad. This person, no, you do it. They do not do it. You do it. This may be the most difficult thing for you to accept, but you make the decision. You made the decision to be upset, angry, whatever it is. They didn't do it to you. You did it to yourself. You could have equally made the decision to praise Him, to trust Him, to keep your mind set on Him, and to have this joy that we're talking about in this passage. You can have it. It's yours. You get to choose. Don't blame anybody else if you're not happy. You just go, oh, here is why I'm not happy. They did not make you unhappy. You chose to be unhappy. Because God, the Holy Spirit, pours in happiness. Thinking and keeping your mind stayed on Him brings you peace. You choose to not have that. So this is the point that we're dealing with in these with circumstances or with people. And with people, you do the same thing we saw with circumstances. You just push that button. Go from the AM frequency to the FM frequency. From the Adamic mindset frequency to the faith mindset frequency. It's up to you. It's just as easy as in your car, people. As easy as it is in your car to reach down and push that button. And go from AM to FM. It's that easy. To do it in your own mind. Often what has happened is, if it's the same person, the same circumstances, these kind of things, it's a habit. And people, it's from the flesh. The flesh is intimidated. The flesh is challenged. This is why we get angry, jealous, bitter. Let me tell you what these things are. Anger, jealousy, bitterness, all these things. These are the immune system to your flesh. The flesh feels threatened. So it counters with jealousy, anger, bitterness, resentment, stress, anxiety, depression. It can't handle the situation. If you experience stress, anxiety, depression, it means you've given up. We studied all of this in a long series of stress, anxiety, and depression. You see, a screaming child. This is one that really hit it for me. A screaming little baby child. Just screaming. Now you think, boy, that child has really lost it. No, they're in control. They're in control. They have reached the point, see? They don't know what to do. And that's what's happened. They did not know how to handle the circumstance. Whatever that would have been. They wanted the milk or whatever. Changed, whatever. They didn't know how to handle it. So, screaming, they're doing something. They're handling it. That's what stress, anxiety, and depression are, and all these other things. You really don't know how to handle this person. You have allowed them, or you have allowed that circumstance to take over. You could have just as easily made a decision to stay on the FM and keep your mind set on Him and think about your knowledge and understanding of Him. Okay, we now come to the fourth participle. What walking in a manner worthy of the Lord will do. All right, first of all, bearing fruit. And by the way, in Jesus Christ, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 16, 16 verses, He has dealt with bearing fruit. Bearing fruit deals with everything in your life. Secondly, increasing in the knowledge of God. That's the study of the Word of God. Three, strengthened with all power of the Holy Spirit, attaining steadfastness, that's upomone, dealing with circumstances, and patience, makrothumia, that's with people, with joy. Now we come to the last one, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father. Let me just jump to it. For the sake of time. People, you cannot constantly give thanks to God and be a complainer. If you constantly give thanks to God you will not be a complainer. You cannot complain and give thanks at the same time. People who are not thankful complain. People who are not thankful complain. Now, if you sit down and borrow, oh, no, no, I'm very thankful. I'm thankful for this. No, no, not in your daily life. Not in the dynamics of your life. Not throughout the day. You're a complainer. You're not really thankful. Not truly. You can't be a thankful person and a complainer. Now, it says giving thanks. This is a present tense. It should characterize your life throughout 2012. It's an active voice. You do this. Make a conscious decision to give thanks. And by the way, just for the record, for those of you that weren't here last night, bearing fruit and giving thanks are in the active voice. You make a decision to bear fruit. You make a decision to give thanks. Increasing in knowledge and strengthening with the power of the Holy Spirit, these are passive. You receive it. You cannot, on your own, increase in the knowledge of God. I don't care what your IQ is. You receive it from the Holy Spirit. You cannot make yourself strong in the Holy Spirit. You receive being strong in the Holy Spirit. But we do make a decision to bear fruit, and we do make a decision to constantly give thanks. The participle is used to describe what will characterize your life if you're walking in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects. Now, here's where the wisdom of God comes in. Here's where the knowledge of God comes in. Knowing what to give thanks for. Knowing what to give thanks for. This is very important. Thank you, God, I got money. Let's see what we have here. If you don't know what to give thanks for, look at verse 12. Giving, constantly giving thanks to the Father. Now, what can you give Him thanks for? Thanks for qualifying us to share in the inheritance of the saints. See, He put us into Christ. He has qualified you. Don't miss this. You are not qualified because of the certain way you live. You are not qualified. I'm going to go right far. You're not even qualified because you know a lot of doctrine. You're not qualified because you walk in the Holy Spirit. He makes us qualified. He does it. To share in the inheritance, that's in the future, of the saints, every other believer, in light. For He, God, delivered us from the domain or kingdom, verse 13, from the domain or kingdom of darkness, that's Satan's kingdom. And we used to study the spiritual warfare is a battle between two kingdoms, kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light, kingdom of God, kingdom of Christ, or kingdom of Satan, kingdom of God. Now, verse 13. He delivered us from the domain or kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son by grace, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You know, I'm afraid that a lot of times with a lot of Christians, we get going and we become very used to our sins, don't we? This is really bad. You know, whatever our little sin nature is, our sin trend, and people, every one of us, have a trend. Only because it's so public knowledge, I still like to refer to Bill Clinton. Oh, he's so bad. He has a trend of this. And people, you have a sexual trend, or a sinful trend. Every one of us have a sinful trend. Yours may be self-righteousness. Yours may be arrogance. Yours may be legalism that the world doesn't really frown upon. But every one of us have a trend of sin. And when you read phrases like the forgiveness of sins, you ought to just say thank you. Thank you. Now, generally we only do that when we sin where it surprises us. I can't believe I stole that. My parents taught me you don't steal. I know it from the Word of God. I know you do not steal. And I've never stole. I've never even taken a paper clip, that kind of thing. I can't believe I stole this. Boy, I need. And you get really heavy about it, don't you? Because it's not a normal. It's not what you normally do. So you're really concerned about this sin. But people, every time you and I sin, we ought to be concerned about it. The little white lie, the little white sin breaks fellowship with God. And look what it says, the forgiveness of sins. Sins are forgiven. And people, this is so important theologically. Do you believe that all sins were taken care of on the cross? Either you do or you don't. There are those in the whole Roman church who do not believe that. So if you die without confessing sins, and you die without sin, you've got to have either last rites or purgatory, all these things. At least they're honest. I know evangelicals that preach that all sins were not taken care of the cross. You have to confess them and all of this kind of thing. They're not even honest. They're not even honest with their theology. At least the Roman church is honest. If it wasn't taken care of on the cross, it's got to be taken care of by lit candles and prayer. Get you out of purgatory. At least they're honest. They're consistent. People, we've got to understand, it was taken care of on the cross. All sins were taken care of on the cross. So, these are so important. You can give thanks for it. Just the sins even that you just committed. The sins you just committed against that person that got on your nerves. Or that circumstance. It's forgiven. It's taken care of. So, here's the challenge for 2012. Let's take a look. Verse 8. In fairness of your love in the Spirit, that's love for one another. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and all spiritual understanding. Now, so that, here's the first infinitive, you may walk every day in our life of 2012 in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. Now, we're going to have four participles describing this walk. Bearing fruit in every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, the Holy Spirit, for the attaining of circumstances, patience in regarding to people, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Okay? Now, let's close with this. John Hintz and I were talking. We had fun doing this. And I just felt I wanted to share it with you. There are 1,440 minutes in a day. Think of it as dollars. That communicates to a lot of people. So you have 1,440 minutes in a day. Let's say you start the day with just 2 minutes. Start the day with just 2 minutes in prayer, thanksgiving. Thanking Him. Just 2 minutes. If you brush your teeth right, it's longer than 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Now, this means that you still have 1,438 minutes left. Now, somewhere in the day, you give 5 minutes in the Word, reading the Word, going over in your mind passages that you know. Just 5 minutes. Remember, both of these are in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're praying that 2 minutes, and you're thinking 5 minutes. Okay? You spend 2 minutes in the morning giving thanksgiving, 5 minutes in thinking of the Word. People, you still have 1,433 minutes. Now, let's say you spend 2 minutes in the evening in prayer. Just 2 minutes. People, you still have 1,431 minutes. And all you spend is 9 minutes. 2 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes in the evening, and 5 minutes during the day. So, out of 1,440 minutes, you have given full concentration to the Lord a grand total of 9 of them. 9 minutes! You still have 1,431 left! Let me go even further. Let's take a week. You have 10,080 minutes a week. That's a lot. If you impose on your life to come to Bible study, to increase in the knowledge of God, to increase in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, just 3 times a week, and I'm going to be kind, counting travel, that would be just 5 hours a week to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, increasing in the knowledge of Him. 1.5 hour on Wednesday. I'm going to count travel time. If it's a little more, take it off of your time chart. Some 3 hours on Sunday, 9 to noon. That's a big investment. You have invested 300 minutes a week. You still have 9,780. And all you've invested is 300. Don't raise your hand. How many of you spend an hour or more a day on TV? An hour or more a day in uselessness on the computer? I'm not talking about work. I'm just talking about idle emails and all kinds of stuff. An hour a day. I'm not even asking that. So it's up to you. Growing in the knowledge. I want to close taking you through a flow of Colossians. I want you to know there are enemies. There are enemies to your increasing in the knowledge of God, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened, constantly giving thanks, walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. You have enemies to this. You have enemies. Think about this. Do you realize you have enemies to just 9 minutes a day? That 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes? You have enemies that don't even want you to invest that 9 minutes. Doesn't care. These enemies do not care about your TV watching. They do not care about your computer playing. They care about this 9 lousy minutes out of all the minutes we have a day. You have enemies. And you know them. The world, with all its enticing distractions, not sinful. It has sinful ones too. The flesh, with all its sordid desires, not always sinful. And the devil, with all of his schemes. He hates Christ. He hates it when you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. He hates it when you seek to please the Lord. He hates when you walk by the Holy Spirit. So let's just note, in closing, 4 or 5 passages in Colossians that deal with this concept of the enemies. Look at chapter 2, verse 4 with me. Chapter 2, verse 4. I say this in order that no one may delude you. There's our first challenge, our first warning. Don't let anybody delude you with persuasive arguments. This is a present passive subjunctive. The subjunctive says, maybe you'll be deluded, maybe you will not. The passive voice you receive, being deluded. And what does deluded mean? Reasoning falsely. False wisdom. Wisdom of the world. Invite Jesus into your heart. Make Him Lord. Be legalistic. Be self-righteous. All these types of things. And that's all I'm going to say about that one. Just be careful. Don't be deluded. The world is full of wisdom. It's false wisdom. It seeks to delude you with reasoning that's false. Look at verse 8. So that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. Take you captive. It's a present active imperative. Don't let this happen to you. To take you captive. That means to take you away from the walking by the walking in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, that is going to take you away, make you captive, where it takes away. The word means to take away, to rob you. The word means to rob or to steal. See that word, take you captive? The Greek word means to rob or steal. It means to rob you of steadfastness. It means to steal from you the macrothumia, the patience with other people. Don't let your flesh nature do that. Look at verse 16. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food and drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. Don't be controlled by people judging you. The fourth one, verse 18. Verse 18. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels. See, there's worship there, but it's not what God would have, to defraud you. People, these are areas that we have to be warned about. And then the final one in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert. Keeping alert. You want to stay alert. You want to stay alert in regard to your prayer. You want to stay alert in walking in a manner pleasing to Him. You want to stay alert in walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. You want to stay alert in regard to hupomone, macrothumia, steadfastness and patience, in regard to circumstances and people. You got to stay alert. People, you can't let your guard down. You can't let your guard down. Just taking a athletic example. Emmett Smith just made it a statement this last week in regard to this upcoming game tonight with the Cowboys and the Giants. And I don't care about that, but what I care about is what he was talking about. He said, let me tell you what's going on. It's who's got the heart. Who wants to win? Who's going to persevere in the fourth quarter? People, you've got to stay alert. You've got to stay alert all the time. Satan is never asleep. He is never asleep. Your flesh nature is never asleep. It's always seeking to camouflage you, take you away from walking in a manner pleasing to the Lord and please self, please the world, please someone else. You got to stay alert. So the challenge is to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, so that you please Him in all respects. And then this will be described, bearing fruit in every good work. This will be described in strengthening with, or increasing in the knowledge of God, growing in the knowledge of the Word, strengthening in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and giving thanks. Here's the challenge to 2012. What are you going to reap from it? Joy. With joy. Patience. Peace. Not getting off balance. And what's the big reward? Pleasing Him. If you care about Him, you want to please Him. To please someone, we have to know them. To know them, to know Him, who is not here physically, we have to study this Word. And then we learn Him. We learn what will please Him. Got to please Him. And I'd like us to close with singing Sweet Hour of Prayer. And I hope, I just used 4 minutes, 2 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes in the evening of prayer. I hope you spend more time than that. I hope you spend more time than 4 minutes. I was sorry to say lousy, but they're not lousy. They're rich. They're powerful. You spend 4 minutes in prayer in the Holy Spirit, that's wonderful. But I think if you do that, you'll soon be spending 5 and then 6. And then you'll be having it all day long. And you'll have an attitude of thanksgiving. And you won't be complaining. You'll be thanking Him. Thanking Him. People, if you things that you give thanks for, giving thanks, those are the things you value. You give thanks for your husband. Give thanks for your wife. Give thanks for your home. Give thanks for your friends. Give thanks for the church. You'll value it. It will become important. Not just, well, it'll be there. I don't need to really go this Sunday or this Wednesday. I don't need to go. This Wednesday night, it'll be there. But if you give thanks for something, you're going to value it. You're going to cherish it. You constantly give thanks for your husband, for your wife. Your attitude about them will change if it needs to be changed. You can't have a bad attitude about what you constantly give thanks for. So this is going to affect and influence all every day, all through our life, things that we give thanks for. So let's close with our prayer will be sweet hour of prayer. Brian?